Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Today marks the 10th anniversary of the start of the war in Iraq. We welcome Rajiv Chandrasekaran, who is a senior correspondent and associate editor of the Washington Post, where he has worked since 1994. He's been the newspaper's bureau chief in Baghdad, Cairo, and Southeast Asia, and has been covering Afghanistan off and on for a decade. His first book, Imperial Life in the Emerald City, won the Overseas Press Club Book Award. His new book, Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan, is just out in paperback. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Rajiv Chandrasekaran to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Good to be here with you.
When we look at this anniversary and the fact that we have been dealing with this as a country at war in some way, shape, or form over the past decade, you've been covering it pretty much the entire time. Do you get a sense of what the path is and truly what the full story is, or is it still very much littered with question marks?
Well, I think the eventual outcome in Iraq and in Afghanistan has yet to be written, and it may well surprise us going forward. You look at Vietnam, and you look at what Vietnam looked like in the immediate wake of the fall of Saigon in the late 70s. You look at Vietnam today, the Soviet Union's collapsed. It's a pseudo-capitalist country. I'm not trying to exonerate the Vietnam War by any stretch of the imagination, but what these countries look like immediately after the American engagement ends is not necessarily a static thing. We find ourselves in Iraq now with a country that is in many ways closer to neighboring Iran than it is to the United States, despite the vast blood and treasure we've spent there. We find a country where we have very limited diplomatic leverage, a country where, though levels of violence have been reduced from the peak levels that they had hit in 2007, it's still a dangerous place. There's still attacks against government and civilian targets. And the more fundamental issues of trying to strike political compromise between the principal groups in Iraqi society to try to forge some sort of more stable outcome, well, that still hasn't happened. There's still the looming threat of a potential civil war between the ethnic Kurdish population in the north and the Arabs in the central and southern part of the country, as well as across religious fault lines between the majority Shiites and the minority Sunni population. And so it's still, in some ways, a tinderbox. But we Americans care much less about it. Our combat troops are out. We've been incredibly fatigued by this war, a war that many thought was going to be a slam dunk, or let me put it differently, we were told by our leaders would be a bit of a slam dunk, also based on the claims that they had weapons of mass destruction. All of that proved not to be the case. And with so many Americans who have been killed and lost their limbs there, the hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars this has cost us, there's just such a degree of fatigue that despite some of these significant questions that are still looming out there, many Americans just want to be done with it.
When you look at the story that you tell in Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan, you report about, really focus on southern Afghanistan in the year of President Obama's surge. What has been the long term, especially as we look to the impending withdrawal of American troops from the region and we consider the future of democracy in the Middle East, what has been the profound effect of that surge in this time and this place that you write about in Little America?
The surge accomplished good things out in Afghanistan, as it did in Iraq. The surge helped to reduce Taliban violence in Afghanistan. It helped to create some breathing space for the development of Afghan security forces. It allowed, in some parts of southern and eastern Afghanistan, local people to go about living normal lives. Their schools opened and their bazaars reopened, and they were able to go back to their fields and to live the way that they'd been living for centuries before them. But as one looks forward, there are real significant questions to consider. Will the Afghan security forces really be able to take the baton from American troops as we start coming home? Will the Afghan government be able to provide the basic services that its people want? Will the Taliban use that moment to try to reassert itself in these places where security is improved because of the actions of U.S. troops? And I think it's going to be a very much of a mixed bag. I don't think the government in Kabul is going to fall like Saigon's did in 1975. But Afghanistan going forward will almost certainly be chaotic and messy. Levels of violence will still be quite high. And the Taliban, I think, will expand its control of rural parts of the country, but probably won't be able to take the capital and other major cities. But I think as we step back and assess, as Americans, these last several years, the commitment of more than 100,000 troops on the ground at the peak periods of the surge, the expenditure of hundreds of billions of dollars, I think there's a very real "was it worth it" question to be asked about all of this. Does Afghanistan really matter in that way to America's national security, and did it merit such a large commitment of resources, humans and dollars, at a time when our country is facing some very serious economic constraints at home?
The "was it worth it" question is huge. I want to ask you another huge question, though. The title of the book you take from an earlier effort to help Afghanistan in the 1950s, and here we are all of these decades later, and the United States has repeated many of its past errors in the very same place. So with that question of "was it worth it" is also the question of, have we learned anything over the past 10 years? Have we learned anything that will remain? Not only the mistakes from the past 50 years, but at least from these past 10 years at war, what have we learned?
Well, I'd like to think that these two engagements in Iraq and Afghanistan that have involved literally millions of Americans in the military, the State Department, USAID, and elsewhere, has created a real base of knowledge that could be helpful to this country going forward. I'm a bit more pessimistic that some of these real lessons, though, get truly internalized by the institutions of government in our country. You look at what we did in Iraq and then gaze over to Afghanistan, and there was this almost simplistic argument that because a troop surge worked in Iraq, it must work in Afghanistan. Putting aside the question of whether the troop surge really did work in Iraq, Afghanistan was such a different country, and the idea advanced by many in the military that you could take the same strategy, counterinsurgency, that had worked or had at least delivered some results in Baghdad, and all of a sudden play that out in the harsh deserts of southern Afghanistan was incredibly naive. And that's just the issue of the last 10 years. When you go back with a longer view on Afghanistan, which I try to do in this book, where I discovered this remarkable period of American engagement in the country. Now, most Americans think that our engagement with Afghanistan began with the 9/11 attacks, or perhaps during the 1980s when we were helping the Mujahideen rebels fight the communists. But it actually began in the late 1940s and the 1950s, when Afghanistan was a comparatively wealthy country and was able to use its own money to hire teams of American engineers to come and build dams and irrigation canals and try to modernize the country. That whole development effort largely failed back then. And if you look at the reasons for it, which I try to spell out in a sort of engaging way at the start of the book, you could be changing the dates and the names and be writing about today. And, you know, I think as the reader reads that early story and then goes through and engages with what's been happening in more recent years, you know, the parallels are quite frankly shocking.
And the fact that we really don't pay a lot of attention to what is happening day to day. We hear about the impending withdrawal, but other than that, other than the occasional tragedy that occurs that is a blip on the news radar, the reason, the beginning, the middle, and the end of any particular narrative is not told. I'm curious if that's a frustration for you as a journalist.
It is, as somebody who has spent a fair bit of time traveling back and forth to Afghanistan, who knows an awful lot of people who've served there, and a lot of Afghans, and cares about the outcome here. I think the American people are not as well informed about this as they should be. And part of this has to do with the, you know, the sheer cost of going out there to report on these stories, and news organizations these days struggling with changes in our business don't often have the resources to send people there. And the public fatigue has also meant that television viewers and newspaper readers and radio listeners want to spend less time hearing about those sorts of stories. Even though, you know, look, we still have 60,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Yes, they're coming home, but they're not all coming home tomorrow or next month. There'll still be more Americans killed and wounded there over the course of this year and next. And we're still going to be spending tens of billions of more dollars in that country. It's still a story of vital importance. And I think we all have an obligation to better understand just what's happening out there. I'm trying to do my part, but it is a bit of a challenge. You feel like you're kind of swimming upstream.
Mm. Without a doubt. The name of the new book is Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan. It's just out in paperback from Vintage Books. Rajiv Chandra Sekaran, I thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck in your work.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for being with us. Again, the name of the book, Little America, The War Within the War for Afghanistan. It is published by Vintage. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.